Just before Aaron shares the word with us, it'd be nice to actually pray for him before he does that. But excited to have Aaron preaching with us this morning. If you don't know Aaron, he's a faithful man in the house, and he's got a real zeal for the Lord, and I have a lot of respect for him and his passion for Jesus. He's not in any official form of leadership in the church, but he carries such a zeal for the Lord, and God's really used him quite powerfully already in many individuals' lives, as he just shares his own relationship with Jesus with others. We had a couple of people coming into our church recently from other congregations, and one of the feedback, which is my most memorable one, Dan Barnard said that City Bowl is like a cheesecake with a really thick crust. I'm a big fan of cheesecake, but the crust represented a leadership within the congregation, that we actually have a lot of young leaders emerging. Who don't do what they do because of a title, but they do what they do because of their devotion to Jesus and their love for Jesus. And Aaron is one of those guys. And I heard you guys had Benji preaching last week. I was really bummed to miss it myself, but I got the recording afterwards and sounded like it was an amazing word that he brought. So let's pray for Aaron just as he brings us the word this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is so powerful. It's so rich. It's so life-bringing. I want to pray, Lord, that you would anoint Aaron with your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would come upon him, that you have called him, that you've anointed him, and I want to pray that he would just be so sensitive to what you want to say, that you'd give him the words to say what he has on his heart. And I pray for us, Lord, as a congregation, that you would allow our hearts to be soft, moldable, to receive your word with faith, to put it into practice in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really want to actually say, like, I just prayed today that the Lord is the one speaking, and that from that place, like, you hear from him, not from me. The prophetic words that have come through, a lot of them have to do with water and flowing. It's actually the title of my preach and how it relates to those waters is revelation through relation. What the Lord's been doing a good work in me, and it's taken a bit of time. But yeah, you really just wanted to bring me back to hearing his heart and hearing what he has to say. And I feel like he wants to share that today with us, with a few of the prophetic words. It's just like, come and drink, come and dive in. And yeah, I really just want to take us through. We're going to be going through... again, yesterday at the gathering, we obviously went through Moses and the Israelites. Again, we're going to be going through Moses and the Israelites. So I think the Lord has a theme here and he wants to take us with. So just a little bit how the Lord's been revealing this to me is end of last year, I was really struggling with hearing from him. And so in my ways, I was like, cool, Lord, I'm going to fast. We're going to fast and I'm going to do these single day fasts until I hear you speak. And, you know, it's a noble request, like wanting to hear from the Lord. And so I started this fast, and so I got about 20 days in, and it was dry. Just dry as a bone. I hear, like, swimming glimpses, but never really had a heart-to-heart. And eventually, we were going to Bloom, and we were driving to Bloom on outreach, and there was four of us in the car, and we were praising and worshiping the Lord, and it was such a joyful time. And then we ate, and then I was the one driving, so everyone else slept after they ate. It was in that time that I really almost got behind myself and just allowed him, like, in the silence to speak. It was just this intimate time where I was almost like that Mary of Bethany moment where I was like, Lord, I'm going to get out the kitchen. I'm just going to sit at your feet and hear you speak. And the Lord started speaking to me and I with him, and it was this beautiful time, and the outreach was great. It actually is my favorite outreach still to this day. But when I came back, I went and I was like, yo, Lord, that is such a joyful time. It's so good. And then I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go back into fasting because I want more. I wasn't able to see the error of my ways. And so that went on, and I eventually stopped the fasting, and still struggling to hear from the Lord. And at the start of this year, I was also struggling to hear from the Lord. And then it was actually when my car got broken into, for those of you who don't know. car got smashed into. They stole a gym bag. Nothing too hectic. But it was then that the Lord shook me and was pointing to what he wanted to speak on. And in this, if we can pull up Numbers 20, he showed me this verse thereafter. So for the context of this verse, it's Moses and the Israelites, and the Israelites are wanting water from the Lord. And Moses is speaking to the Lord in the first verse. It says, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he says, take your staff and the assembly of the congregation, and just going to skip over, and then it says, tell the rock before their eyes to yield its waters. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them, and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. You can just skip to the next part. And so I just want to go to verse 11, and it says, now this is where Moses is standing before the rock. He says, Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Can we go to the next verse? And then Lord says, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy as in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. You see, when I was fasting, when I was going about in this time, I was reading my Bible and doing all these things, but the Lord was showing me that I was relying on what worked. You see, this is not the first time that Moses has struck the rock. Actually, if we can pull up Exodus 17. Again, it's the same kind of context. The people are crying out for water. And then Moses says to the Lord, these people will stone me, Lord. And then the Lord says to him, go over, take some of the elders, take your staff, and then I will be standing before you on the rock of Horeb. And you will strike the water. You will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink. And they called this place. You can go to the next verse. I didn't give it. In verse 7, they called this place Meribah and Masaha. It was a place known as the Lord's testing, a place where the Israelites tested the Lord. You see, what the Lord was showing me is Moses defaulted to what he knew worked previously. The reason he was so upset with Moses is because in Numbers 20, it was meant to be a prophetic picture of his son, in whom the rock we can come and speak to and receive his waters. However, because Moses defaulted to what he knew, he struck the rock previously and it worked. He disobeyed the Lord. Just like me, I was relying on ways to drink of the Lord. And he's saying, no, my son, I called you to come and speak to me. You're under the new covenant. You see, in Exodus 17, the picture the Lord was trying to show, Exodus 17 is actually just after Exodus 17 where all the laws are created. And so it's a picture of man striking rock in order to receive the law, the old covenant. But the law was never God's perfect way of doing things. It's the reason he brought in the new covenant, which is in which his son, whom we can come and speak and receive. Yes. And so he took me through this journey. And, you know, in that time between Exodus and Numbers, 506 laws are created. And he was showing me that we were under the law, and this relationship was vertical. But he's called us into a horizontal relation in which he came to fulfill the law, bring it down to where we can relate to him heart to heart. You see, something that our nature, our pride doesn't allow us to understand. And Mervis put this so beautifully one time when he preached, it takes God to love God. And I want to expand on that just a little bit today. It takes God to hear God. You see, you can pull up the scripture in Matthew, please. You see, when the message of my preach was revelation comes through relation, it's in that context of the new covenant, that relation of the heart to heart, in which we receive revelation of Him. You see, in this scripture, just to give you a little background, Jesus is sitting in this relational context with the disciples. They're sitting around with each other, and He asked them, who do the people say the Son of Man is, just before the scripture? And then they say, some say the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah. And then He asks again, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, and it goes, blessed are you, Simon Bar, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It wasn't Simon's mind, not Simon bringing the scripture. It wasn't Simon praising the Lord, but it was my Father in heaven who has revealed this to you. It's only through Him we can have a revelation. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You see, this is the first mention of church. You see, it only came through relation. The only way to build His church is through relation with Him, through hearing His word. You see, the words that came through were water, living waters, right? When we were created, it says He breathed life into us. So from His lips comes rivers of living water. You see, that prophetic picture, it's so beautiful. Thank you, Dana. I'm sorry to the guys on that side that can't really see it, but yeah. You see, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the tongue will speak. So that out of the abundance of God's heart, He spoke living waters into us. All right. You see, something that the Lord was showing me was my prideful nature is one that I really do struggle with. As a representation, I like to use the Tower of Babel as a scenario. You see, they built their way to be like Him, building their way to up to heaven. The Lord was showing me, I took a little bit of scripture, took a little bit of good worship time, I took a little bit of reading His word, and I built up this tower so that I could be like Him. But He's saying, in order to relate me, you don't have to be like me. You see, because He's a holy God, and I'm a prideful man, so there's a distance there that I quite didn't understand. You know, in the beginning, and in the fall of Lucifer, if you can pull up Isaiah, this is what was in Lucifer's heart. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars. I will set my throne on high. I will sit at the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. This is in the context of Lucifer, an angel designed to worship the Lord. This is what was in his heart, this prideful nature. In our fall, when it was Adam and Eve, the serpent came to Eve and said, if you eat of this fruit, you shall be like him. See, God was revealing a nature in which I'm trying to build my way to him, like in the Tower of Babel. And he's saying, but you are placing me back on the cross. Because I came down so that we could have a heart-to-heart relation. And you are bringing me back up onto the cross in which I died for you. You see, one of our prideful nature is one where we believe our hearts are good and the desires of our hearts are good. If you can pull up the scripture in Mark. Mark 21, it says, from within, out of the hearts of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, covetousness. And in 23 it says, all these things come from within and they defile a person. And one of the words that came through in the prayer meeting is that God wants to have a heart surgery with us. feel like the Lord is calling us and saying, your heart is wicked, and I want to come and place that which is abundantly giving life into you. You see, David, David came into power. The reason the Lord anointed David, was because the person before him was Saul, and Saul had the voice of man above the voice of God. And so it's David then gets anointed and is king, and it's in Psalm 95. I just want to pull up that scripture. For he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you would only hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did at Massah, in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me, though they tried, though they had seen what I did. You see, he's bringing back to that picture of Numbers. The Israelites had gone on a journey with the Lord from Exodus to Numbers. They had seen all the miracles. They had the manna provided to them. In Numbers, they tested the Lord, even though they had seen him strike the rock the first time. And it was in this place that the Lord was showing me, in my way of getting to him, I've hardened my heart by striking the rock. I've hardened my heart because I'm like, Lord, I want to hear from you. And he's saying, no, my son, I speak to you, and you speak with me. Coming back to the water, in John 4:14, it says, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. The water that I give him will become a spring of water welling up for eternal life. You see, it's upon that man's lips that we were all created. It was upon that man's lips in which he breathed life into us. And I think something that the Lord was alluding to in me, and yesterday they touched on the promises with Caleb. You see, Caleb kept the promise close to his heart of what the Lord had spoken to him. And can we pull up Matthew 8? Just before I get into the scripture, what we do a lot of the time is we're like, there's power in the name of Jesus. And yes, there is. But how much more power is in the lips of Jesus? You see, in this verse, it's a centurion coming to the Lord. And he says, Lord, my servant lies paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he goes on to say, Jesus asks, must I come heal him? And then the centurion says, no, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. And then it gets to this verse. But just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. You see, this wasn't a man who grew up in the culture of the Jewish beliefs. He didn't grow up in the synagogue or at the temple. He didn't understand any of these things. He probably understood the culture because he was placed there. But he knew that if this man is who he says he is, if this man who is claiming to be the Christ, then upon that man's lips is all the power that created all of us. Upon that man's lips and upon his word and his word alone can my servant be whole, made whole. And he said, and then Jesus, was when he heard this, he said he was amazed. If you can go on, I think it's in 10. Yeah, so when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those following him, truly, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. You see, faith is given to us, but we need to understand that it's on his lips and on his lips alone that our faith relies on. You see, if you know... Yesterday they spoke on convictions of what was promised, and you know, sometimes we don't place enough conviction on the things he's spoken and he's promised us. We're so quick to forget. I remember Dennis was healed and his back was healed, and we prayed for him, myself, Matthew, and Simon. Yes, But my heart was so quick to harden thereafter. Because I kept on praying for other people to be healed, and I didn't see it. And then I realized, like, no, it's because he spoke healing into Dennis's back that his back was made whole. It's because he spoke it. Not because I prayed or Simon prayed or Matthew prayed, but because he spoke it into existence. You see, the very nature of God and something he wants to reveal to us is his nature is gentle and humble. And so we need to come in that spirit of humble ourselves before the Lord, like Mary did. Come on our knees before the Lord. Because if we don't come in the opposite spirit to pride, then we're going to carry on building up until the Lord and carry on making the ways of the Lord. You see, don't get it wrong. The Pharisees were very zealous. They were very zealous. But they were zealous for the ways of the Lord, not the heart. You see, so we need to come in the opposite spirit of humility. If we could pull up in James. You see, part of what I was saying earlier about striking the rock, it makes our hearts hard. But it also makes us weary. It makes our souls weary because we were designed to hear from the King. So when we're not hearing from the King, we grow weary and tired and we lose that life. So in James 6, it says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. And in verse 8, it goes into this. Draw near to me and he will draw near to you. And another part of James, it says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, it's upon learning his heart that we understand his nature. And it's from him transplanting, removing our wicked heart and placing his heart in which we understand how humble he is and just how wicked we are. Imagine you spoke the whole of existence into being and you humble yourself to the point of getting in someone's womb and birthing yourself and hanging yourself on a cross. And another point that it ties into humility and how we come and posture our hearts to hear from the Lord. Don't come to Jesus for confirmation of your own desires. Come ready to hear his voice. You see, there's that part in scripture where it's the rich young ruler. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I've kept all the commands. I've done everything that you asked. What shall I do to enter the kingdom? And Jesus says, sell your possessions and come follow me. Jesus was speaking in that moment and and the rich young ruler had a chance to come and drink and receive the living waters from the King. But because it wasn't what he wanted to taste, because it's not what his heart desired to hear, he walked away. And there's many of you that the Lord has spoken, but it's because you didn't want to hear what he wanted to say. You've fell away. You've stepped away from the Lord. You know, I spoke about Peter earlier and how he had that moment where God reveals himself to him. And later on in the scripture, the Lord tells Peter that I'm going to die on the cross. And Satan pulls him, Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, no, Lord. Right? It's not what Peter wanted to hear. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. It was what the Lord was showing to me. I have to get behind myself, get behind Satan, get behind me, because my ways are wicked and foolish. And it's only through him speaking that I can receive life and the revelation in which he can build his church. There's an invitation this morning. It says in Revelation 3:20, and I want to end on this. God is a gentleman, and he's not going to force you to hear him. He's not going to force you to listen to him. He's a gentleman. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me." You know, earlier on we had communion. We had a moment to eat with him and him with me. So in closing, in summary, I really do, the words that have come out have confirmed that this is from the Lord. But if we don't hear it, we have a chance to harden our hearts and walk away like the rich young ruler. So don't let the stuff, don't let the ways, like Bible study is great. Worship nights, they're great. But if you're not inviting him into it, if you're not allowing him to speak through it, it is dead works. You are putting him back on the cross, and he's saying, "No, my son, I've called you into a new covenant, one heart to heart, where I can speak with you and you with me, and from that place you can receive my living waters, my waters that will give you eternal life." You see, we're called to be like Christ. So in that depiction of being the rock in which we can come and speak and receive living waters, there's another aspect in which he builds a revelation in our hearts, and we become the rock where other people in the congregation can come and speak and receive life. We're called to be like him. So that's what I have to say. So we're going to hand over to Luke now. But yeah, just keep that posture on your hearts.